we understand that more than anything else, we are to worship God. God doesn't, you know, just want you to be someone. You contain someone, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You become the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in you. He is the hope of glory in your life. And the most important thing you're to do is worship Him. And by the way, worship is not something that happens only on Sunday morning at 8:30, 9:45, 11 o'clock, or Sunday evening at 6:30, or Wednesday night. Worship, dear ones, is 24/7. One of my dear seminary professors used to say, worship is whatever you do that brings the most honor and glory to God at any minute of your life and any hour of the day. We are to worship Him. And so expressions of worship we know are singing, praying, giving, meditating. But, you know, it's even more than that. In fact, churches nowadays, you know, we get a paper every couple weeks at Centerview called the Biblical Recorder. There are, I lose track, something like 4,300 Southern Baptist churches throughout the state of North Carolina. And we get a little report about activities in the various churches. And at the end of the magazine, there's always an advertisement for pastors. You know, this church needs a pastor. And then, you know what most of the advertisements are for? This church needs a worship leader. Now, when a church says we need a worship leader, what do you think they're really saying? What are they saying when a church says we need a worship leader? What are they saying? We need someone to lead the music. Dear ones, Mark is the worship leader here at Centerview Baptist Church because worship is not just music. Mike is the worship leader here at Centerview Baptist Church because worship is not just music. It's whatever we do, whether we eat or whether we drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God the Father. And, you know, we live in a day and age where people want to know what the bottom line is. And pastors get on ticks where we use phrases and we wear them out. We find new phrases to wear out. You know, one of the phrases that my wife has tried to get out of my vocabulary is, can we cut to the chase here? Is there a bottom line anywhere in the future here? Can we fast forward this, please? Well, if you're that kind of a person, here's our bottom line. We exist to worship God. I had a chaplain friend, he used to say, he didn't introduce himself as a chaplain. He just said, I'm a worshiper. My main job in life is to worship. And he understood that everything you do, if you do it for the glory of God, it is worship. Whether you're driving a car, whether you're spending time with your child or your wife, or doing your job at work. In fact, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might as to the Lord, not to men. Worship is not just having the Lord's Supper, not just baptizing, not just, you know, putting our offering in the plate. Worship is bringing glory to the Lord. Revelation 4:11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So here's the thing. Your ultimate reason for being is to bring pleasure to God. And the Bible has a word for that. It's worth-ship. It's ascribing worth to His name, glorifying Him in everything that you do. He does not need us, but we need Him. We have no life apart from Him, and He has chosen to have a relationship with us. He has revealed Himself to us through His Son. The second thing we want to say here is we exist to teach Christians how to walk in God the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Romans 8:18, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, the children of God, the daughters of God. And so, dear ones, we exist to worship God the Father. We also exist to teach Christians how to walk in God the Holy Spirit. We had the privilege of meeting with the men yesterday in our monthly men's prayer breakfast. And, you know, I made this statement that, you know, some denominations may have excesses when it comes to talking about the things of the Holy Spirit. Baptists tend to overreact to excessive behavior in some churches by almost pretending like the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. And you know, if you call the Holy Spirit an it, for me, like putting your fingernails on a chalkboard and scraping down, the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a him. God, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said this, I will not leave you comfortless. He said, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father is going to send in my name, he will come to you. He will be with you. We just talked with two children about asking Jesus Christ to save us from our sin, to be our Lord and to be our Savior. And we understand that God is Spirit, and those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But God has revealed Himself to us, and He exists in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we know that God is everywhere. We know He is all-present. We know He is all-powerful. We know that He is all-knowing. But the person of God that lives inside of our heart and life is God the Holy Spirit. And we are to teach Christians how to walk in God the Holy Spirit. God has given gifts to each and every one of His children. We believe at Centerview, every member is gifted for at least one particular ministry. And the ministry may not be glamorous. Here's a ministry that we need. John just shared with me, hey, apparently y'all haven't heard the word on poinsettias. They have to be watered. And these are as dry as a bone. And he said, you know, by next Sunday, they're all going to be dead. He said, and here's how you do it, by the way. He said, you actually just take some ice cubes and put them in there. So listen, we need help at Centerview Baptist Church. Pastor Mark can't do everything. And so we believe that every one of us is gifted to serve Christ in His church. As we speak right now, there's way more people on this campus than are in this sanctuary. And we have a good gathering tonight, and I'm thankful for that. But I just got to tell you, there's like 150 people over in the Awana Club. Excuse me. There are people who are watching the little ones tonight, little babies. They are just as vital and important to the work of the ministry as the pastor who's preaching the message or the person who's baptizing the candidate and so forth. And so every one of us has the Holy Spirit living in us. Every one of us is gifted to serve God in at least one way. And the job of the pastors is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, not to necessarily do all the ministry ourselves, but to help others to understand, no, the same Holy Spirit that lives in me lives in you. And He empowers us. He gives us victory. And we know that apart from Him, we can do nothing. Now, God the Holy Spirit also lives in us for the purpose of promoting Christian fellowship. There is no such thing in the Bible as a lone ranger Christian. And so let me read 1 John 1:3-7. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. This is John, the love apostle. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him, declaring to you, that God is light, in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But as we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son cleanses us from all sin. Dear ones, we have the Holy Spirit who lives within us, and we also live as we walk in the Spirit in fellowship one with another. Jesus said, a new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. Paul said, be kindly affectionate to one another, brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. And so one writer has said, this is not something I've made up, but it's a profound thought. Think of the cross. Think of Calvary. It's made of two pieces of wood. Think of the vertical piece as the one pointing toward heaven. We have a vertical relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, His Son. Now think of the piece of the cross in which our Savior's arms were nailed. The piece extends horizontally toward people all around the cross in the world. Jesus died for the sinners, and the bottom line is that we've all sinned to come short of the glory of God. Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. And so here's the thing. We when we get saved, dear ones, we are put into a family. And we are to have fellowship not only with the Father, but with one another. And we have this fellowship through God, the Holy Spirit, who indwells in us. So we're going to say that we exist, and on the third page, there's a saying there, and you hear me say this many, many times. The church is not a hotel for saints as much as it is a hospital for sinners, and we've all sinned. We all need the Lord. So we talk about worshiping God the Father, walking in the God the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the third part of our mission statement here at Centerview Baptist Church, and this, of course, represents our triune God. We are on mission with God to win others to life in God the Son. Let me just pause here and say from my heart, as we grow, ministry is getting more challenging at the Centerview Baptist Church. Let me tell you a little bit about my world. At the 9:45 service, there was a dear family. In fact, it's usually a husband and wife. They just started attending a month or so ago. And the pastors and our deacons are trying to take pictures of everyone. We're working on a pictorial directory, and it's like counting fish in a goldfish tank. You think you got them all numbered, and then they swim to the other side. And so the thing is, every soul matters to God. And you know, I was hoping, you know what? I see her picture, but it's one of those pictures where we don't have a name to it. And so, and her husband was there, but I recognized the picture, and I actually had the picture in my office. So in between the songs, I ran there to get the picture. I couldn't find the picture because I just wanted to go up and plug in her face with her name. Here's the situation, dear ones. We have lots of folks coming to Centerview Baptist Church. Every one of them matters to God. And I believe with all my heart that God wants every one of them to know His Son, Jesus. And as we grow, it's going to be harder and harder to be personal with people, but it can be done if we work at it and if we do it intentionally. Here's the thing. Everyone matters to God. His Son, and I love what 1 John says in 1 John 2, 2, and he, in fact, the verse 1 says, any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And then verse 2 says, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And here's the thing. Some churches reach a point, all right, already, we got 150, 200 people. It's hard enough to keep up with them. Enough already. And I like what Rick Warren said in this regard. Here's what Rick Warren said. The day the church desires to stop growing and winning people to Christ, and by the way, the Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. The day we stop growing, it's okay as long as you just realize you are saying to a lost and dying world, as far as we're concerned, you can just go to hell because we have enough already. We have 150, 200 people, enough already. Unless you think I'm being facetious when I say that, there was a time at this church when we broke the threshold for 100. And one of our members actually came to me, and I don't, and it's not an issue where I'm judging him or being hateful, but he said, hey, Pastor Mike, great, but now throttle back. We'll no longer be the small church with the big welcome if we keep growing like this. Really? Is that what we want to be? The small church with the big welcome? Or do we want to see men and women and boys and girls come to know Christ, whom to know is life eternal? So we are on mission to win others to the Lord. Here's what I believe. The Bible says, whoever calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. How can they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How can they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? Dear ones, we are on a commission. As you walk out these doors, in fact, I'm looking right now, and I see Acts 1:8. You will be witnesses to me. So as you walk out the main double doors there, you see Acts 1:8. As you walk out the main doors there, you'll see Matthew 28. What a coincidence. Who ever thought of that? Was that on purpose, Mark, or did those just pop up there? Listen, when we leave here, we are going into a mission field, the world, to win men and women, boys and girls, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can never stop growing. We are on mission to worship the Father, teach Christians how to walk in God the Holy Spirit, and win others to life in God the Son. Now, that's been a fast forward. You have the handout. You can look at all these verses that we have for you at your leisure. But I want to switch gears for a moment and talk about our essential beliefs at Centerview Baptist Church. Now, I did not make up the phrase that I'm about to share with you. It's widely known in Christianity today. But in essential beliefs, we have unity. And the Bible says there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. Brother Willie Johnson, who's now in heaven with the Lord, used to quote that verse almost every time he prayed. And so in essential beliefs, we have unity. Not everything is a hill on which to die. You know, at Centerview Baptist Church, we have traditional music at 8:30. And for those who love hymns, and by the way, if you notice, on Sunday night, we always have hymns, and on Wednesday night, we always have hymns. Can I just tell you something? It's a whole lot easier to have someone that can play the piano and go like this than it is to gather a whole praise team together. Maybe that's part of the reason we have traditional also in the evening services. But listen, for some people, if it's not hymns and a choral, a chorus or a choir, it's not church. And that's cool. And then for other people, a lot of young people in our day are drawn more to the praise and worship music. I had one of our dear deacons who left this church. He moved to St. Louis, and he called me one afternoon and said, "Pastor Mike, the church I'm in, we're in a pickle. We're down to about 30 people. And now there's a church right down the road that's busting at the seams, but they got that dadgum rock music going on. And we are not going to cave. We are not going to give in to the culture. We are not going to do church that way. We're sticking with hymns." Our short story was, I said, last person to die, turn out the lights before you do. There's nothing wrong with preferring hymns. Can I tell you a little something? I actually love hymns. We will never not have traditional music as long as Pastor Mike and Pastor Mark are your pastors. Pastor Mark loves traditional music even more than Pastor Mikey does. If we had our preference, maybe it would be traditional. But here's the thing. There's beliefs that are essential, that are non-negotiable. There's beliefs that, there's things that are just preferences in life. So in non-essential beliefs, and music, by the way, would be non-essential, would be, and that's just even a stretch. It's really not so much a belief as it is a preference. We have liberty. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. Who are you to judge another one's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for he is God's, is able to make him stand. So each of us will give account to God. Do you have faith? Have it before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself and what he approves. And so there are some people at this church who view certain behaviors in life as sin. Others view it as other certain behaviors as not sinful. So we have things that are essential. We have things that are non-essential. But then here's what we want to say. In all of our beliefs, we must show charity. And the love chapter of the Bible says, without love, I am nothing. Though I give my body to be burned and have not love, I am like sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And so there are some things that are hills on which you and your pastors should be willing to die. And so let's talk about that. God. The Bible says, I am the Lord, that is my name. Beside me, there is no God. I will not give my glory to another. So if you want to come to Centerview Baptist Church and you want to say, you know, well, I believe that the Hindus or the Buddhists or other people have it right, and there are thousands of gods, and it doesn't matter which one you worship as long as you do so with all of your heart and sincerity. Well, listen, there's a physician sitting in front of me, and here's how I'd use that illustration. if a physician, you know, truly believes that you can be cured by from cancer by gargling with lemonade, you know, that might be his belief, but you know, there might be a malpractice suit if he really tried to treat people that way. So you can be as sincere as the day is long that you believe that there are many gods, and it doesn't matter what you call him or her, as long as you just believe with all of your heart. Well, listen, that dog won't hunt here at Centerview Baptist Church. We worship of the Lord, that there is no other Lord. Now listen, we live in a pluralistic society. Everything I'm just telling you right now does not hunt in our day and age. And Christianity is accused of being, in fact, there is one thing, in a sense, in the culture in which we live that you can be intolerant of without being judged. You know what that is? You can be intolerant of Christianity. Why is that? Because Christians have the audacity to say that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by him. And so understand this, in the day and age in which we live, that is heresy. That in itself is viewed by the world as intolerant. And so our beliefs about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, here's the bottom line. God has said it. We believe it. That settles it for us. And there are many verses that I could just quote at you. You know, Hebrews or Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. This morning we said that God hath given his Son a name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so if you want to suggest that there are many ways to get to heaven, or that there are many gods in this so-called heaven, you are going to have a problem at Centerview Baptist Church, because that is an essential belief. That is not negotiable at Centerview Baptist Church. Here's another non-negotiable or essential at Centerview Baptist Church, the Bible. I remember a day, and I went to seminary later in life, and sometimes seminary professors play devil's advocate just to cause the brain of seminary students to melt down or to hurt. And so, you know, they might throw out a conundrum that's kind of insolvable or something like that. And so one day we were having a debate about the Bible, and the professor was actually, so to speak, for the sake of argument, taking the stance that a scholar in the world might say, that, you know, the Bible is not true. And we were going back and forth and sharing scriptures. And, you know, the professor, I can't even remember exactly what he said, but he had me turned every which way but loose. And finally, I stood up where I was and I sang the B-I-B-L-E. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. At which point the professor gave the class a break. But dear ones, I might not be able to argue this or defend this as good as some scholars, but the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's the teaching we live by, 2 Timothy 3:16. It's profitable for reproof. And that is the Holy Spirit. When we get off the straight and narrow path, the Holy Spirit reproves us. He convicts us. That Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convince the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment to come. The Bible's profitable for correction. Not only will it give us a spiritual aoi, not only will he, the Holy Spirit, convict our hearts and lives based on what is in the unchanging Word of God, the Bible's profitable for correcting us. And then for continued instruction in righteousness. Why? What's the purpose clause for all that? That the person of God may be perfect, complete, mature, thoroughly furnished, equipped for every good work. And so the psalmist said, forever thy word, O Lord, is settled in the heavens. Jesus said in John 10:35, the scripture cannot be broken. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The Bible is a hill on which we are willing to die. Now, everything I just said in the eyes of the world is just so much foolishness. Because who are you to say that your book is right? By the way, I have a book in my office which I'll be happy to share with you. It's called Scripture by Robert Saucy. And the Bible, overwhelmingly, of course, it is the bestseller of all times, remains so to this day. The Bible is more historically verifiable than any book, any literature that has ever been penned in the history of the world. There's not a single prophecy of the Bible that has ever been undermined or proven false. And Jesus had it exactly right. The scripture cannot be broken. This is a hill on which we're willing to die. About human beings, all of us have sinned. All of us have come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We all need a Savior. Here's what we believe at Centerview Baptist Church. There's really only two kinds of people in the world. Sinners who have been saved by God's amazing grace, are being transformed, and are being made into the image of Christ, and are therefore sinning less and less and less as they become more and more like Jesus. And by the way, in the mind of God, you're not a sinner. In the mind of God, you've been declared to be righteous. He has stamped the blood of Christ, His Son, over your heart and life. And in the mind of God, you are sinless. In practical experience, we're trapped, as John MacArthur says, in this remnant of our humanity, our flesh. And Jesus said, be careful not to fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But there's only two kinds of people, sinners who've been saved and are being changed in the likeness of Christ, and sinners who are still lost and undone. We're not willing to negotiate about that. About salvation, that Jesus is the only way. He is the truth. He is the life. And the Bible says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He has saved us, by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And of course, it's faith in Christ. And that not for yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness has come by the law, then Christ died in vain. Dear ones, salvation is totally by grace through faith, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to those that would believe in His name. Now, on the matter of eternal security, this is a tricky one, so let me say this. At Centerview Baptist Church, we believe that if you have truly been saved, you will remain saved. We do believe in the perseverance of the saints. We believe in simple verses of Scripture like Philippians 1:6. He that hath begun a good work in you, being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. There are some godly people in Christianity who believe that, you invited the Lord in, you can invite Him out. We're not going to make this a test of fellowship. I am going to say this to you as your pastor. If at any point you have a soteriology, a salvation doctrine that transfers remaining saved to your shoulders from God's shoulders, then what you really have is a works-based theology going on. So Paul said it this way to the church at Galatia, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? So our salvation, we started by grace through faith, and we stay saved by grace through faith. Now, there are some people, I believe this with my heart, this is Pastor Mike speaking, I speak for myself in this, I believe with all of my heart that there are some people who are genuinely saved, but fearful because of past teaching that they can lose their salvation. And so I would say, better to be really saved and a little bit afraid that you could lose it, then to have some who might be some members of this church are absolutely convinced they are saved, but they are as lost as Hogan's goat. They've never been born from above, and you've heard me say this, I can park myself in a garage It does not turn me into an automobile. And you can come to church, and it does not turn you into a Christian. And so Jesus has said, many will say to me at the last day, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name? Haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? Lord, haven't we even cast out demons in your name? And Jesus is going to say, I'm going to have to say to them, depart from me. And here's the key. I never knew you. If he had said, I used to know you, but I don't anymore, maybe we could talk. But the thing is, he said, I never knew you. So there are some who are convinced that they're saved, and sadly, they're mistaken. There are some who are saved but think they can lose it. Here's the best solution, to be saved and to know you're saved. And by the way, when you understand that, it makes you want to live more fully for the Lord. Some people say, well, don't tell people that they can't lose their salvation. Then they'll just live like the devil. Well, you know, if that's your attitude, then you have to wonder. Maybe you're one of those that really aren't in. because here's what the Bible tells me. His commandments are not grievous to us. If you're in Christ, you love the assembling of the saints together. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So there's many proofs. 1 John gives a whole boatload of them, about 20, that can show you how you are, can be confident that you're in Christ. So we are believers of eternal security. We're not going to show you the door. If you are not, we're just sorry for you. Because once you really understand the amazing aspect of grace, then you can sing a little more heartily when we sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. About eternal security, about eternity, you are going to live forever. And souls that God created in His image are eternal, dear ones. You're going to live forever. The question is, where are you going to live forever? So when you read books like Daniel in the Old Testament that talk about a resurrection of the dead, some to life, some to eternal condemnation, understand this, every last one of us is going to live forever and ever. It's a matter of where we are going to live forever and ever. And I love what what Jesus taught us in Matthew 25, when he says to the goats, those who once again thought they were sheep but were really goats, you know, he said, I was sick and in prison, you didn't come to me. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was sick and you didn't visit me, and so forth. And they said, Lord, when did we ever see you like that? He said, No. In as much as you did not even do it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did not do it to me. And then he says, I'm going to have to say to them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And so here's the thing. When people say, the God who I know and love would never send anyone to hell, I agree with him. You're right. You send yourself when you reject his son, his offer of salvation. And you're right. Hell was never created. If you believe what Jesus said, hell was never created for a man, woman, boy, or girl to go there. It was created for the devil and his angels. But if you refuse the Lord, if you harden your heart, Jesus said, you will die in your sins. And then you will discover that you were created for eternity, and it will be too late. By the way, that's why we need to be so passionate about soul winning. So our lifestyle statement. Now this is, I'm going to fly through this, and someone made this up. I didn't. You hear me say this, Centerview. We are Christians with a capital C and Baptist with a lowercase b. So let's be frank for a moment. In fact, let me do a little drill here. How many of you are here and you were either in the military or you are in the military today? Raise your hand if you have a military background. About what I expected. So here's the thing. We have folks from all over the country in Jacksonville. When you drive down the road, when we go on a visitation, I pull up in your driveway. Where's the Metzger family seated? The Metzger family. I'm trying to remember the license plates. Was it Virginia? It's here. Bad example. Well, trust me on this. Almost every week, I drive up to a driveway of someone's house that we're visiting here at Centerview Baptist Church, and the first thing I notice is the license plate. Oh, you're from Texas. Oh, you're from New Hampshire. Oh, you're from Nevada. You're from Wyoming. We are a melting pot of of families from all over North America. And so here's the thing. A lot of our, in fact, humor me on this. How many of you tonight were not raised in a family that was Baptist? You did not go to a Baptist church when you were a kiddo. Okay, look around at all the hands up. You see, we sometimes assume, oh, there's a Baptist sign out there. Everyone here are Baptists. I'm going to say about half of our membership are not Baptist by upbringing or background. So we say we are Christians with a capital C and Baptists with a lowercase b. We preach Jesus and Him crucified. And I'm happy to say that there are folks from other denominations in Christianity who come to Centerview who feel very comfortable. We preach the Bible expositorily. There's no hanky-panky. God said it. We believe it. That settles it for us. There's a sweet spirit. We exist to serve, worship, walk, win. And they're totally comfortable, even though they were not Baptist by their DNA. Having said that, let me just run through this little ditty on being Baptist. Here's a good way of thinking about it. The Bible is our sole authority. Mark's opinion does not matter. Mike's opinion does not matter. That one preaching text I have, save your opinions. You know, people are confused enough already. Don't tell them what you think. Tell them what God has said. The Bible. A stands for autonomy. Every Baptist church is independent. Now, my friend Matthew, his daddy was an independent Baptist preacher, if I'm not mistaken. And for those of you who know that, that means something. But let me just say this. Every Baptist church, including Southern Baptists, are independent, meaning there's no bishop, there's no potentate, there's no one telling us who to select for our pastor. The church is independent under the lordship of Jesus Christ. We are an autonomous body of believers. Now, I will say this. Some churches, that's the only thing they focus on. No one tells us what to do. We're autonomous. Pastors don't tell us what to do. In fact, we get a new one every 2 years. You know, even if the other guy was good, you're out of here. You know, we're independent. We're autonomous. You can go too far with anything. The P in Baptist stands for priesthood of the believer. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. We don't go to someone to pray or to confess, and you have as much access to God as your pastor has access to God. I can't approve what the Bible says. We're a priesthood, of believers. We're a royal, peculiar, special people that God has called. And do we have positions in the church? Do we have pastors? Yes, they're in the Bible as well. But dear ones, every one of us has direct, absolute access to God. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, Hebrews 4 says, that we may find grace and mercy to help in our time of need. We have a high priest, Jesus, who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You don't need to go through men. T, tithing. Now, people, you know, this is not a hill on which I'm willing to die. All of your pastors agree with this. We should give systematically. We should give cheerfully. We should give generously. Pastor Mike, I do believe in the tithe. I believe that the precept of the Old Testament continued in the New Testament. It's not a hill on which I'm willing to die. And here's what I've noticed. Even New Testament saints who don't believe in tithing, in practicality, they tithe or more than tithe. So we're not legalistic. We don't think God's, I think it was Adrian Rogers that said, try this sometime. Sometime when the offering plate is going up and down the aisle, just follow the ushers and watch everyone as they put it in and see what the reaction of the people is. And he said he would drop back. Every once in a while, he would do that. And then he would say, well, what are you upset about? God sees it. Well, I'm just a man. Who cares what I think? Good little teaching point. But the thing is this, just like that little exercise a few weeks ago where I gave everyone a bag with 10 dimes in it, keep 9, put 1 in the plate, put it somewhere where you do your bills to remind you, God is so gracious. Everything we have comes from Him. He's so gracious. But I believe if as we honor the Lord in this way, we discovered that 90% goes further than 100%. But that's a personal decision for you and your family. The I stands for immersion. We're dunkers. The Metzgers are going to get dunked tonight. We're dunkers here at Centerview Baptist Church. We believe in immersion. We don't believe, I'm not being silly, but some churches pour or anoint. But at Centerview Baptist Church, we believe that Jesus went into the Jordan River. When he came up out of the river, the Spirit alighted on him like a dove. The Father spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son." So we baptize the way every example in the New Testament is of immersion. And that, by the way, is the only way that shows the picture of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. That's what we're going to do here in just a moment. The S stands for Spirit-led living, and the T stands for telling others. Now, that is not in the Bible. That's just a little way to remember some of the dynamics of what it means at Centerview Baptist Church. We're going to conclude tonight, and I am going to get ready to baptize, and Pastor Mark is going to lead the evening offering. I'm going to ask the baptismal candidates to go ahead and proceed to change your clothing. But we're going to conclude with a hymn of invitation tonight. And every Sunday, all the pastors end the service with a song. And one of the things we do is give you an opportunity to respond publicly. Billy Graham used to stand up at every evangelistic campaign and say, "Everyone that Christ called, he called publicly." We invite you to respond. Most people are joining the church not by coming forward, but by filling out something in the slip and meeting with the pastor one-on-one, and that's fine. But we're never going to stop offering the public invitation. So if you're here tonight and you want to trust Christ, or you're already a Christian, but you've said, hey, this is the church we want to be a part of, we actually invite you to come during this hymn of invitation. Father, have your way. Thank you for the joy of teaching your word tonight. And Father, we look forward to what you're going to continue to do in our lives in the days ahead. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.